All right. So, we've talked about the initial patterns, the pecking order, the limitations, the burden, the definitions put upon the energy that is the masculine energy. We've talked about relationships and how the traditional masculine energy, masculinity, shows up in this twisted and distorted way, causing so much pain, suffering, separation, and grief for both man and the other. But there is hope. There is definitely a way out of this, as we have shared some with you, especially in the meditations, to shift you, to put you into another state of awareness, another perspective, another orientation. We would like this time to speak about what your life will be without it, without that burden, without that load of definitions, pressures and demands upon you, without the orientation of the pecking order. What is life like outside of the pecking order? What is life like when you're free, when you feel safe to be yourself, when you no longer have that wound? What can you not do? And what new venues and possibilities will open to you? One of the things that has always been of major priority and major pressure to a man has been to make money, to earn a good living, or to show his smarts in some way by creating a concept or a business that makes a lots and lots of money. But this is not the path of everyone. Only for a few, really. We're not to say that a man cannot make a good income, and that all men cannot have an access to a possibility of making good money. But very often, the very factors that put pressure, demand, and stress upon a man to make money are the same factors that keep him from making money. They keep him struggling. And if not making money, struggling in relationships. Not finding the happiness he deserves. As a light being, as a divine reality creator, experiencing the physical form. And we know also that all women who have had to interface with men on an intimate basis and have had to do their coping and their dancing around it, or plunging into the pain of the arguments, the hostility, the resistances, will find it so, so much more glorious to experience a man who is free, who doesn't take every little thing personally as an indication of whether he's a success or a failure, who doesn't live in terror that some judgment will suddenly fall upon him and crush him, that he will be revealed to be some kind of loser. So what would that life be like for a man? And what would that be like for the women who have been living with that trauma and that wound of men and its defense? We talk now about a new way of living, a new life, a freedom. Freedom from that pain. Freedom to be you. Freedom to think and feel whatever is there without judgment of yourself. This freedom is first felt inside you. Both men and women have had to undergo what we would call a kind of sexist orientation through adolescence. And unfortunately, even with the more enlightened possibilities available in the current day and age, teenagers are still subjected to the same exact pressures. Males are expected to learn how to appear manly and get higher up on the pecking order. The young women are expected to become more feminine, to look good, to dress well, to polish their presentation skills. It is kind of ironic that this happens in the human species, how it's reversed in the saints. If you look in nature, which of the two, the male or the female, is the more flamboyant, the more visible one? Generally, it's the male. The male bird, generally, you know, if there's a distinction between the two, the male bird will have more flair, more color, more pizzazz, more flash. Right? Well, maybe dance around and strut his stuff. Make its particularly noises, or make a certain dance, or a certain song to impress the female. And indeed, there's one culture that we know of in human species in which the young males paint themselves up and put on fancy gear and so on and dance to impress the girls. It's a tribe in Africa. And you'd think, my gosh, why would males be doing that? Because actually with the fire-air orientation of the masculine, the males, in a sense, should find it more natural to be visible, to be out there. But with the training in this culture, men find visibility terrifying. So we'll start there. What about the freedom to be visible, to be seen, to stand up in front of people or individuals? Or just simply have the presence of being yourself. It doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you make. You're a radiant light being. What if you could just enjoy being in the moment, being present, enjoying yourself, enjoying being yourself, thinking and feeling freely, whatever it is you find come up, and be conscious and aware of how to respond, interact, engage with your reality. It is an extraordinary feeling. First of all, there is no contest, no competition. All right, so what would it be instead? There'll be a sense of this world is supportive of me. My reality is a fun place to be. Your belief system, the new belief system, the free belief system, would be my world is whatever I'm willing for it to be. And it's an adventure to explore, to experience. And I'm just going to go out there and find what, and do what I want to do and experience what's there. And I assume I'm going to experience lots of magical synchronicities for myself. I'm going to assume that people are supportive. I'm going to assume that people are nice. I'm going to assume that people are genuinely loving, caring people. I know that most people out there will have the pattern I once did. I know they're out there covering their supposed flaws and weaknesses and issues and trying to appear strong and invincible and smart, capable. And I know this, and I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm accepting them. That's just the nature of human beings to go for this crap. I did too. So I'm assuming that they're going to do it. I'm going to have compassion on them. Which means when they do their little, you know, defend dance or attack, I don't have to take it personally. And I won't. I'll just understand they're frightened right now. You women, when a man does his little dance, can you hold that perspective too? And recognize, oh gosh, he's feeling really close to being threatened to that wound, to that place. And so he's reacting to defend himself, to push me away so I won't get close to that place. So I don't have to take it personally. I have compassion for him. I'm not going to put up with a whole bunch of crap from him. But I'm going to understand where he's coming from and not see it as something deliberately aimed at me. And any of you, free, when somebody does their little defensive or aggressive attack or distract mode from that place of shame, if they treat you badly, if they come across harsh, hostile, mean, vicious, a tit for tat. Okay, all right, I take it as you're attacking me. Well, you've got a problem. Let's look at your problem instead. What are you going to do? You're going to smile with compassion and you're going to say, well, I'm not willing to be treated badly. But I want this to be a win-win. I want you to win too. I want your best interest as well as mine. You see, in the old masculine paradigm, the old twisted and distorted one, there's no real win-win. There's win or lose. You have no other options. When you go into survival defense mode, that's what comes up. Because, you're either going to be one down, or if you attack, maybe you can be one up here. And one up means a higher spot on the pecking order. Can you understand when people come there that they may treat you badly, rudely? Here's where you set a boundary. Not a boundary to fight over, not a boundary of right versus wrong, but you set a boundary of respect. And you can say, I hear what you're saying. You listen, you give them impact. You let them know that you are seeing and understanding where they're coming from, and you're not attacking. So you listen to them. And if they continue to be aggravating, you'll have to say, okay, I ask for your respect. I demand your respect. You know, don't treat me like this. You don't in any sense say, you do blah, 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 and accuse them of anything. Nothing. Why? Because What is there to accuse them of? Oh, you have a wound in there and you're hiding it. And you're playing this game on me and I'm really angry at you for doing that and I'm taking it very personally. See, it makes no sense, does it? When you can hold that even keel without taking it personally, what it does is create safety for them. And then they realize, sometimes they don't, but most of the time they will get, after a little while, that they're not being attacked. You're being patient, you're being calm, but you're very firm that you're not willing to be abused. This gives a sense of boundary of respect, and they will respect you. Then you can negotiate with them. Then you can talk with them. Let's see what's to our mutual best interest. As soon as they realize that, you've got someone who you can work with. You've got perhaps a friend. Perhaps if it's a love relationship, you've just avoided a major argument. But you do need to listen to them. You do need to listen and hear what they're saying. Now, some of you who've had more problems with this than others are those of you who are intuitive and psychic. You know who we're talking about, right? And you know actually what they're thinking and what they're feeling and where they're really coming from. And you also know that if you were to point it out, all hell would break loose, right? You had this when you were a child. When your parents would yell at you or whatever it would be, you go, I know where they're really coming from. I realize that they're like insecure and they're upset. It's not mine. But what am I to do? I'm just a kid. I'm just, you know, I can't talk back. I'll get whammied. So you shut yourself up. You see, zipped it. What do, you psychic ones? You're the ones who already know this pattern we're talking about. And you can already tell when somebody goes into that kind of pattern. And you can pull yourself up into your power and into your light. And recognize you don't have to tell them or respond the way you think that they need you to respond or that you must respond in any particular way. You can go ahead and respond to their insecurity, to their fear. And you can tell them, you know, there's nothing to fear. I'm not attacking you. I'd like, you know, let's work together on this. You can diffuse it if you can keep that awareness and not go back to your habit of zipping it. Or trying to respond to what they are verbalizing rather than to what they are actually showing you that they feel, think, and know. You want to respond to the real person with compassion. Give yourself a little pause. See, part of the pressure that you have is that you got to respond right away. You don't have a break. And we would say, we would recommend that you do the technique that the channel's grandmother always had to give herself a little break to figure out how to respond. She would take her index finger and put it in front of her pointing to the sky. And it would be stop. Wait a minute. That's the gesture. She would hold her arm out with the finger, index finger pointing straight up. Stop. Wait a minute. And everything would go on hold. It was a gesture of great strength. It could be seen as a dominating gesture, and in a sense it was. The channel's grandmother was rather imposing. Victorian, you know, strong Victorian woman. But nevertheless, it still created a state break. Which is that it created a break in that flow of energy. It created a pause. And in a pause, you can reset anything. The people who have the ability to do skillful pauses or state breaks have an amazing ability to be able to change circumstances and to bring into their lives more support and cooperation. If you were to respond with a hot tone of righteous indignation and say, "Stop, wait a minute," you'd get a totally different response, you see? Now, some people have tried all sorts of different things. There was this story about this guy who could just never seem to, he was one of the junior members of a board of a corporation. And they'd come in, they'd be these terribly boring meetings and nobody'd do anything creative, even though that's what they promised they would do. And so people would just go droning on and on and on and on and not listen to anything. And everybody was not listening to everybody else. And it would just be one of these tremendously boring wastes of time. So when it came time for him to say something, what he did is that he got up and he took his chair, turned it upside down, and put it on top of the table. And everybody looks, huh? And they all woke up. And then he turned the chair around. Oh, okay. And he put it back down and he says, "Now, here's my idea." And because he had a state break, everybody became present. It's too easy for all of you to wander away. It's too easy for you to go into your head and to old patterns from your past. But what we were suggesting is that if you stay present, you can create state breaks whenever you need to. And those state breaks give you time to respond. You must never judge anyone or come out with a preconception, assumption, or expectation of their behavior. Now, even if they've done it in the past pretty consistently, you can watch for that, but you don't judge it. You don't expect it as a sign of their just meanness or stupidity or whatever. You don't judge it. So here you are in an interaction, having no judgment, being free to be yourself, coming from a compassionate, loving place. What kind of response are you going to end up getting? At first, it may seem very strange to you, because it will definitely seem kind of strange to the other person. People don't generally tend to do this. They just tend to knee-jerk do their responses that they learned back in their adolescence and continue forever indefinitely and assume that's the way it is. And for that reason, there are a lot of people that are still playing high school dynamics and they're in their 40s and 50s. So what you do is that you hold this kind of orientation. When you do this, you are safe. If you have a wound in there, you need to deliberately clear it out on a periodic or regular basis until it no longer shows up. Because when it shows up, it's a resonance of fear. And fear of loss of control, loss of face, loss of your facade. And if you're feeling that and you're starting to take it personally, ooh, I still believe that I have that wound in there, that weakness that I've got to hide. And if you do, take note. Don't go into your defensive postures to protect it. Just make note of it and just pull a blank face. Just, okay, I'm just going to state break. Remember, I am a light being having a physical body experience. I'm safe. I'm free. I'm loving. I am empowered. Now, those of you who listen to us on a regular basis know that we keep harping on those four terms, those four fat words, if you will. Love, freedom, power, and safety, trust. Right? Those four concepts. Those are the foundation of a free life. Those are the foundation of a spiritual adult. And when you have those going, when you know what that is for you, and you can stay connected to those four energies and radiate them, those four concepts, those four vibrations, your life will be sublime. There'll be a tremendous amount of harmony in it. Lots of magic. Opportunities will come to you just like so. You don't get all bent out of shape about so many things, every little thing. You don't spend time judging yourself. What do you do in your spare time? When you used to judge yourself, what would you do now in the new reality? Sometimes you'll find that a person who has made this shift, they don't really even have thoughts at all much. Nothing's going on in there. Because see, most of you experience this mental yada yada, chatter, chatter, chatter. What is it? The monkey mind. It's part of the training that continuously makes comments, opinions about everything. Makes judgments about yourself. It makes judgments about other people. Makes assumptions. Runs all the old belief systems through. If you don't have that, you know, you're not going to be spending all the time saying, oh, I'm so great, I'm so great, I'm so great. I'm like, oh my, I'm so great. That was part of what you did to kind of support your ego facade. You're not going to be doing that either. Basically, it's just going to be nothing there but light, maybe. What's going to be there is this. You're going to be fully present. Your senses are going to be connected to your environment and to your feelings and your state of being within you. What you feel, what you think, what you're perceiving, what you're intuiting, what you know. And you're going to be present in this flow. And it is blissful. It feels blissful. You feel light, untrammeled, comfortable. Comfortable in your consciousness. Comfortable in your emotions. You're not afraid of getting angry. You're not afraid of messing things up. You're comfortable in a flow within you. You just feel a warm radiance. It just feels really good. And you can be perceiving what's going on and being aware. Oh, look, that person is scared. Oh, look, this person is doing this and that. Oh, look, I'm experiencing this emotion and this reaction right now. That's where you'll be. You'll be in the present. Most people spend all their time, their inner mind time, in the past or the future. Oh, what if they do this? And what if, and oh my gosh, what if? And or maybe, oh, I feel so guilty. I feel so bad. I keep letting this person down. I keep not doing it right. Oh, no. This is my story, my story, my story. This is who I am, my terrible story. Exactly. It's a yawner, right? That was a really good response. Thank you, dear one. To have a nice, oh, my story. Oh, yawn. Oh, what a bore. Please don't bore yourselves anymore. You are. Let it go. Be free. Have a space to have nothing going on in your mind, but just perceiving. It's a wonderful freeing place to be. Now, we're not saying you can't make any, you know, choices or decisions about the future. But every moment that you live your life, yes, you may make ideas about the future, but you're not in fear of it. And you're not like planning your future by saying, okay, let me prepare for the worst. Remember that one? Hope for the best and prepare for the worst. That sucks. Okay? Because to prepare for the worst means you're going to be anticipating every negative scenario so that you can brace yourself for it and get yourself all like, okay, all right, okay, let me have it, all tight, waiting for it to hit. Or you can say, okay, you know, I do this and this and this. I know that human reaction being as it is, sometimes that, you know, this type of thing may come up, and so I may have to negotiate that, and I may have to demonstrate that, and I may have to just, I just have to hold my resonance through it and just, you know, remember why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to impress anybody and make points on the pecking order. I'm doing it to, for the pleasure of my own creativity, to get closer to the divine that I am. And what you'll also see is that everybody in your reality and everything that happens to you in your reality are messages for you, not judgments. If something doesn't turn out the way you want it to, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. The new way to respond is to realize, oh, it's not turning out the way I wanted it. Did I have some hidden agenda with what I wanted? Was I wanting this for ego purposes? Was I wanting this to control my reality, to make it safe for me? What permutation of freedom, power, love, and safety was I into? You can evaluate it. See, for some people, freedom means being irresponsible. For some people, love means, you know, just being totally deep and bonded, and that these people will devote their lives to you. For some people, power is about domination and control and manipulation. For some people, safety and trust is about having more locks on your door or a better built facade, a thicker ego wall. Right? So maybe you've made a misdefinition there. I needed to rethink. Freedom is a sense of exhilarating lightness, comfortable being yourself in your emotions, comfort with your emotional flow. Power, being able to make choices for yourself and to be able to follow through on those choices. Making decisions, having the power of decision making. Love, feeling closeness and intimacy to the divine, the unconditional loving acceptance of yourself, the divine within you, your relationship with the divine, to God, Goddess, all that is, and to see that reflected in another person so that you can give love to them unconditionally, so that you can give love freely. And that in that process, to give and receive, to love, touch, and heal each other. And safety. To own that this reality is a supportive reality giving you messages. Messages you can use. If you don't take all the messages personally, you're free to respond to them authentically. This will give you so many new options about what to do, how to respond, and what life patterns you will engage in. So many people keep responding the same old way, and they wonder why these crises and the same challenges keep coming up over and over and over. Well, your reality is very kind to you, and if there's something you want to learn about, something you need to get, I'll keep sending it your way. Don't take that as that you're inadequate. It's just that your universe is saying, here's another opportunity to figure it out. Here's another opportunity to get an aha moment. Here's another opportunity to open up to more freedom, power, love, and safety. If you can look at your reality that way, you can live your life with with so much fun. You can be creative. You can be imaginative. You can have visions. You can have connections with the ecstasy, the bliss. You can feel motivated, true ambition. You can laugh at circumstances that previously would have gotten you just so bent out of shape. And you'll laugh in a kind of cosmic way, you know. You know, when that pattern happens, that challenge happens yet again for the third time. You can laugh rather than saying, oh no, what did I do wrong this time? Oh, I'm such a mess up, I'm such a screw up. Oh, here's the same damn challenge and I still haven't gotten on top of it. Instead, you just have a really good time with it. Oh gosh, I still am pulling this one in. What a hoot. Can you look at your life with a certain sense of humor and lightness? You can only do that if you don't take yourself so damn seriously. Some of that is from your religious training. You got to please God. You got to behave. And you take that and transfer that on to other people like your boss or your mate or family members or who knows who. Try to please. Try to do good behavior. Good behavior without freedom is worthless. Because it's false. It's good behavior pattern. If you can acknowledge that your good actions can come from an authentic place within you, rather than you trying to be good, you're free. Please don't keep yourselves in prison. It's really important. The life of a free man, a free person. The love that can be received. The negotiations that can lead to wondrous adventures. There's always a solution. A possibility, something greater that lies ahead, regardless of your age. Even after 42, those of you men who are going down now on the pecking order after 42, you don't have to go into a midlife crisis. You don't have to go and get a snappy, snazzy automobile and divorce your wife and go run around with young things and try and impress them. You're not competing with young men anymore. It's time for you to step off the wheel. Step out of the pecking order. Step free into your wisdom. All right, so we're going to hear from Daniel now, who's going to share his experience of living as a free man.
So interestingly enough, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to grab something here and grab something there. And along the way of experiences that I had, but I want you to know that my full name is François Daniel Metro. I'm just currently using my middle name. Now, François, which is the Frank, is the Franks were a race or a group of people who lived in France in the early ages. Basically, it meant the free. And metro, too, is a term that was used in the medieval system of agriculture that, and you know, everybody was in servitude then. If you lived and the Lord owned you and you worked his land, but every once in a while, somebody would kind of earn their freedom through whatever they did, and then they were a metro. So I have free in my first name and I have free in my last name. So I suppose that freedom is something that over time was just part of who I was to become. Well, first of all, I must say that being free allows me to approach new things, to go on a learning curve and to allow myself to make mistakes and not to feel bad about myself in the process of learning something new. So I'm doing things that I would have never done before. As I mentioned to you earlier, I had speech aphasia and I was socially inept. And I had this learning disability with not being able to track. So nowadays when you go to school and you have something like that, they'll recognize it and they put you in special ed and things like that. But when I went to school, that was nobody recognized these symptoms. So about 8-10 years ago, I decided I wanted to get out of this. And even though it was an awful struggle with fears of humility up the wazoo, I went to Toastmasters and I learned how to speak and how to, and I have to understand this, and I have, that it just takes practice to really do this and not to give myself a hard time if I stumble over my words or don't find one in the process of telling a story and just flow with it. So that was one of the aspects that came along with allowing myself not to go into my shame and not to be a failure, but to be free, to allow myself to make mistakes and to learn. The second aspect that came into play, which I thought was extraordinary, it took me a while to realize this, is that there was like this fateful moment after about 6 years ago, after a pretty bad business failure. Other person and I, we started up a mortgage business and we just failed miserably. And it cost me about a year and a half of my life and $20,000 rather than making. That's what it cost me. And so I was, and so we finally gave up the business and I was totally devastated. And then we had this really, really heavy duty blow up, my wife and I. And something shifted that day. I found in the depth of this row that we had, this really heavy duty argument, I found where I made myself wrong in the process. And I was able to heal this situation. And from then on, I wasn't really as defensive anymore. I didn't really have barbs come out, and I wouldn't go on the attack. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, I had a wife who was nice to me. She, instead of being distant and cautious around me, she was able to approach me. And we share so much intimacy and love, which we never did before in the same way. So that is just extraordinary. At this point in my life, with a few minor exceptions, I would say I have it all. I have the love, I have the good health, I have the finances, and I have all the magic that all the heavy things, you know, relationship, health, and love, it's all here. I don't have to give up anything for something else. It's all available. So it's very peaceful. When I go into a crowd, especially a crowd of guys, you know, it's really funny how society is. They all want you to be the same way, because if you're different, if you're free, they're all in their shackles. They don't want to be reminded that they are in their shackles. So this whole thing with the pecking order and the man code is that the rule is, if you break it, we will excommunicate you in a sense. We will shun you. We will throw you away. We won't be with you any longer. And so we all quake in our boots, hoping not to make any mistakes so that we don't get humiliated and pushed away from the group. And that's the fear. But I found actually that once I slipped away from the pecking order, that it was just the reverse. People didn't all of a sudden push me away. No, it became much more peaceful. They somehow sense it, that you're not approaching them in a competitive way. You're not looking where you fit. You're not looking to push the other one down or cower to the other one. And they sense that and they feel more relaxed. So I can go into any group of men and feel totally at ease with them. not be afraid that I will have now to get into some sort of confrontation, or that I have to assert myself to show them where I'm at. And they, sensing that, are in the same position. They don't have to do the same thing with me. And because of that, they're all relaxed. And my interactions with other people now is very open. It's relaxed. There's no competitiveness. And for the most part, there's no arguments. Never, ever did any of the things that I had feared, that stepping out of the pecking order, materialize afterwards. It's just, I don't know how to say it. It's just so free. I can do at any time what it is that I want. So I can highly encourage you to let go of all those macho, distorted, masculine aspects in yourself so that you can find the freedom that I found.
All right, and women to recognize as part of not taking it personally that a man can struggle to find his place in the pecking order, and he can approach life competitively, even if it involves you. So to be able to let that go, and you to step outside the field of competition, can also neutralize a lot of that as well.
I'd like to add two more things.
Yes.
One was that in our relationship, most of the times I brought in less money than my wife. And that's okay. It works out fine. We now support each other freely and openly, and we contribute whatever we can. And because I'm not under stress anymore, I actually find it is easier for me to make money. The other thing I wanted to mention is that recently, as we, you know, moved to LA and got used to LA traffic, and I learned traffic here is quite different than in South Florida. You have to be much more attentive. And so I learned to become more attentive. It's just a thing, it's a matter of habit. And so I became better at it and became better at it. And so I started to go faster and faster because, you know, distances are humongous. I mean, you know why they call it the 405? Because it takes 45 hours to get anywhere on it. So I would like, you know, be heavy on the pedal to get there faster. And so soon I was doing pretty much 60, 70 miles an hour every time I was on PCH.
And that's a, what, 45?
45 zone.
45 mile an hour zone.
So, of course, one of these days I got into a speed trap. You know, blue lights behind you, sirens and pull over, and, you know, you're going way too fast and stuff like that. And I couldn't even pull my radar gun up fast enough for me to figure out how fast you went. So I clocked you on the way back, and I already had reduced my speed, so I only got a 60. But, and it was okay. It's not a fun thing to get a ticket, but it was okay because the cop actually had a caring message for me. He said, you have to slow down because going at 70 on PCH, whereby you know, nothing has happened until now, but if there's some condition that's different, somebody has to swerve, a truck comes out of a driveway or something like that, you're going too fast. And so sure enough, I don't do more than 50 now on PCH. The nice thing about this, because I heard what the guy had to say, I saw it as a loving action, not as like big brother, oh, we're going to stick it to you. My insurance company never got wind of it. So my insurance prices didn't go up. Normally, when you have something, a ticket, your insurance rate go up for 3 years. So there was a little magic in there. But the magic was in there because it wasn't a confrontative thing. It was the universe coming to me and saying, you're speeding. You could not be safe doing this. So I also wanted to share that.
And also, you didn't go into shame and anger and all those reactions that you might have gone into years earlier.
That's right.
Under that sort of like, oh, damn it, I got caught and you know, the system and Big Brother. And you know, you didn't go there.
No, I didn't.
And you didn't judge yourself and all that.
I paid the fine and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for listening.
So you get an idea about living your life as a free being, right? And freedom is really important as far as your spiritual direction is concerned, the spiritual path, your future. Part of the reason that you came here at this space-time intersection in the first place was for you to learn to be free, to be empowered, to be safe, to love in a physical form. And the reason for that is not that this is some penal colony, right? Where you have to come here and suffer and get punished for your bad karma, right? What it really is, it is an illusory playground that you and God together created for you so that you could experience reality creation from scratch. See, if you had remembered exactly who you were, the greatness of who you were, the one that we connected with you with earlier, that higher self, if you had come into this life as your higher self, would there have been anything to learn, really? Anything to create? You would already know how to do it. You would be able to create from that frequency, from that field of resonance that you are. But what you decided to do is to go and hide the truth and then have fun rediscovering it. You decided to go hide the awareness of who you are so that you could create from scratch. Not from the place of knowing, you know, which would be snap, 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 and whatever you want appear, but in a sense of putting together the pieces and pulling it apart, looking at it and exploring it. And from there to construct something unique, intricate, and beautiful for yourself. To show your creative expression so that you too can step into the God space of creation. Perhaps you want to create a universe. Perhaps you want to create something, a material plane reality. You're doing it. You're waking up as you're doing it. You're becoming more and more awake, more alert, more awakened to who you are. And it's becoming more and more fun as you do that. Dear ones, do not feel afraid, because it's all of your own making. And if you will stop limiting yourself and allowing yourself to step into your own freedom, power, safety, and love, you'll find that radiating this truth of who you are will attract and draw to yourself the most marvelous opportunities for your personal growth and development. One of the things about being on the spiritual plane as well is that you have come to create for yourself a new paradigm and to gift it to your world. You didn't come just for your own selfish reasons. You came to gift it to this planet so that the whole culture, so that everybody can lift as well. A great gift from you. It took a lot of courage to become physical, to deal with the pain, to deal with the separation. But it's time for you to reconnect, to reunite with your divine, and to share that with the world, to step beyond the patterns of shame, to create a new template for everyone, especially at this time. There's so much shame, and particularly for men, the masculinity, the energy of masculinity from so many men are lost and floundering at this time, and women's masculine side is lost and floundering, easy to do in a time of great chaos like now. So you're on your mission. And when you can live freely beyond the shame, you're really completing your personal mission, and then you can contribute to your global mission, to what you wish to bring to your planet. It is a beautiful thing, a loving thing. And you're ready. Otherwise, you wouldn't be even listening to us. All right, so let's do a little bit of work now. Let's do a final meditation. Let's install some of this new template into you, shall we? Yeah, let's get you into your freedom, into your safety, love, and power. Come on. Let's go there. Let's step into the resonance of you, the realized being that you are. So close your eyes, being comfortable. And imagine yourself now. Just imagine a beautiful place in nature. A place that you've either been or that you would like to go. That's just beautiful. Let yourself just step into it. Walk about in it. Glory in it. It may be near a beautiful beach, like a beach in Hawaii or a tropical isle. Or it could be a beautiful forest with grand, great trees. It could be in the mountains, in an alpine meadow filled with flowers of all colors. Wherever your place is, let yourself imagine it in some detail or sense it, whatever senses work for you. Just sense the wonderful peace of the nature there, the grandeur of nature. What a greatness of creation this place is. And let yourself also sense that within this particular place, there sparkles an essence of magic. It's almost as if all the things that are there, the leaves of the trees, the grains of sand, all sparkle with a certain inner light. A magical place, a beautiful place. A place where you're free to wander in this wondrous, glorious environment. First of all, you're safe there. There's nothing there that can attack you. There's no competition. There's no one there demanding anything of you or threatening you in any way or requiring your attention to be distracted from yourself to them. It's just about you and this beautiful energy of nature. Nature is healing. Nature, Mother Earth, in all her wisdom and all her love, very healing. And so it's time for you to heal. Healing meaning to let go of the lower vibrations of the limitations and to reattune and realign at a higher frequency and a higher level. So this is not only just a beautiful place of peace and safety, it is also a place for healing, for you, your healing place. And you look about for a place to lie down in this glorious, beautiful nature place, maybe through thick, lush, deep green grass, in the shade of a big oak tree, or perhaps on those sparkling sands of the beach. Or here's a nestling crook that you can use in a rock that somehow or another is oh so comfortable. Or wherever it is, let yourself find a place for your healing, a place where you can let go. And as you find this place, let yourself just relax into it. And you don't know what to expect. You're listening to the sound of our voice and just following along. But you begin to presently notice that there's a sense of a hum, a vibration, a light, a warmth, a frequency that is touching you, stroking you gently. You look above you and there's a sky filled with stars. Perhaps a day sky, maybe a night sky, maybe a twilight sky. with its lavender hues, filled with stars. We are with you. We love you. And some of those stars move from their position and come above you and form a giant star that is us, or the way that we show ourselves, as the group that we are. And we send a beam of light down to you that as it reaches you is a column of light to surround you, lying there. Let us just surround you, lying there. Let us hold you, nurture you, touch you. Let us touch you. Let us touch your third eye. That's placed just in the midst of your forehead, just above the top of your nose. Let us touch that place to open you to visions of new possibilities. Let us touch your root chakra, your coccyx, to open you to safety. Let us touch your heart to open you to love. Let us touch your crown, the very top of your head, to open you to receiving the reflections of your light, receiving the connections to your reality, to your world, to the divine within you, to those spirit guides, helpers, mentors, masters, teachers, and beloved ones who work with you on the other side. Let us touch your second chakra now, your sacral chakra. Let us touch you just on the pubic bone, or perhaps the center of your sacrum. Feel a light deep in your belly. And let us there open you to a different self-image, an image beyond shame, beyond the pain, beyond the wound, beyond the limitation, beyond the gender definition you have tried so valiantly and vainly to fulfill, to lift you beyond the energies of the demand of perfection, the pressures, to lift you into the freedom of being, the freedom of being you. Let us take off the guilt, the shame that's stored there, the memories of shame, rather, the stories of shame, the stories of the guilt and the disappointments you've created, the part of you that's let other people down as well as yourself. Let it go. Let us take it and just spin it off somewhere. Doesn't hurt us. Load us up. And now let us touch your solar plexus to open you to your power, to your choices, to your will, to your strength of decisions, and acknowledging your own motivations and the clarity of your desires. Let us open that up. And now let us touch the base of your throat, also known as the fish chakra, the chakra of communication. And here is your higher freedom, the higher freedom to speak your truth, to radiate your truth, to live your truth. And your truth is aligned with the divine. Your truth is divine truth. And it's right for you. And certain parts of it are unique to you, your own flavors, your own temperament, your own way. And those ways, not an adjustment of what you have needed to do to survive and make it in a hostile world, but your true motivation, your true nature, And it's okay. You have light and darkness within you, and both are okay. And now sense that there is another that is with us and with you. Your higher self has come. That one that you connected with, that you bonded with, that you blended with earlier has come again. This one now stands there, looking down at you with so much love and so much compassion. What is it that keeps you from being free? What judgments, what self-limitation, what story that you fear allowing yourself to be free, that still makes that difficult for you? Generally, it's a self-judgment or doubt or the excessive rationalization and agitation and chewing over certain things over and over and over and over again. Give that to the both of us. Give that to us, and to give that to your higher self. Whatever that limitation is to your freedom. Just let us whoosh it out of you. Let us just flow some of our light through you and whoosh it out of you. There you go. Just come on. Third time. Here we go as a charm. Let us just whoosh it out of you. There you go. And what keeps you from feeling safe? What are the fears, the limitations of that? The worries, the anxieties, the old guilts and rages that you think are going to trigger more incidences, more issues. Your pattern that could explode any moment. Why aren't you safe? Give it to us. Now, let it go. To both of us, to us, we will move it through, and to your higher self, who loves you totally, completely, accepts every bit of you, the light and the dark. So here we go. Let it go now. Come on, let it go. And we're going to whoosh it through again. And we're going to whoosh it through a third time. We're just going to get a little, the last little remnants. And what keeps you from your power? What keeps you from making the choices you know are right for you? What keeps you from acting on what you know and what's true for you? Let that go now. Let that resistance, that fear, that struggle, any stuckness, let it go now. All the powerlessness, the powerless rage of the past, time to let it go. Come on, give it to us. Here we go. We're going to whoosh it. Your higher self and we take it. Come on, you can give us more than that. Here we go. There you go. And another whoosh. And now, what keeps you from receiving the love? Do you think you're not deserving? Do you think you can't handle it? Do you think it demands too much of you? There's too much of a price to pay if you open to it. And if you open to it, and if you lost it, could it be too devastating? What is your fear of love, of intimacy, fear that if you let love in, that whoever is loving you would see your weakness, your unlovableness, your story. They would realize you were pretending. Come on, let that go too now. Here we go, with a whoosh, to both us and your higher self. All right, more. And a third one. And now, receive the love. Receive our love. Receive your higher self's love. And open now, as we touch you on the crown once again, to let God, Goddess, all that is, love you. This has been true forever and will exist forever in eternity. You are beloved, you are loved, and you are never alone. There's so much love. Receive now. Receive. Open. Receive. We'll help you. Let it sink in with a delicious heaviness of light into every cell to remind you that you are a spark of consciousness, a divine being, a divine reality creator, having a physical plane experience to live a mission of glory and free, loving, empowered, and safe. And it is done. Let the love continue. Let it sink in. It will continue for a few hours. Just let it continue sinking in, drenching you. And let yourself come back now. Come back and open your eyes and return. We have so enjoyed working with you. It has been a pleasure, and we look forward to any time we can do that again in the future. For now, we surround you, dear ones, as you go about your adventure of life with our love and our light. Farewell.